I'm Catherine Kane. I'm the Vice President for Exhibitions.
All right. And this has been, what, a five-year endeavor to get this thing launched?
Oh, yes, yeah. At least.
When did the idea come up? Were you sitting? How does that happen? You're sitting around like a room and throwing out ideas?
You know, National Geographic's been covering archaeology forever, for over 100 years. So it's always been a big subject for us. And we always felt that the Indiana Jones movies were the entree for people into nobody really knew what archaeology was before this movie in 1981, and this, you know, really popular fictional character is probably the most famous archaeologist in the world.
Take me back to, where were you when that came out? Were you already in the field?
1981, I was in high school, and I remember the movie really, really well, and the character, and I think what was so fascinating about the movie and the subsequent movies was learning about the cultures, right? I think that George Lucas and Steven Spielberg did a tremendous amount of research, and they did a really wonderful job of trying to take their audiences on these adventures to places in the world that they might never visit. And even though it's fictional and there's a lot of embellishment of, you know, the facts, nevertheless, you are learning about things that are based in fact many times. And that is what makes this exhibition so great, is that we're able to take those props, take that Ark of the Covenant, take that Chappaquin idol, take that headpiece of the Staff of Ra, and tell you what it's based on, right? It's based on something that's either fact or fiction. Right. So we do a lot of that in the exhibit. We obviously show you a ton of the films because they're so much fun. We've got costumes and props, and then a lot of real artifacts from real archaeological digs. We've covered and told stories about a lot of real Indiana Joneses here at National Geographic over the years, and some of them are on the walls of this exhibit, and their personalities were just as big and just as flamboyant and just as fabulous as the real Indy.
Is that to you the purpose of art / entertainment, is to, you know, spark these things about, you know, real historical important social commentary or historical stories, or, you know, is that why it exists?
I think so. We are sort of in the educational media business, and I think people's attention spans are getting shorter and shorter, and they're getting curated content served up to them by every platform on earth. And you may not think that you're interested in archaeology, but we can bring you in here to see Indiana Jones and sort of get you interested through the Hollywood door, and you learn something along the way, then our job is done.
Absolutely. Yeah. How did you go about choosing the items, both the arc, the real items, and the movie props?
Well, it was a huge partnership, obviously. Another wonderful quality about George Lucas is that he archived everything, right? He saved everything from these movies. He didn't know whether these movies were going to be successful or not, and he saved everything.
Did he put them in giant crates, like at the end of the movie?
He put them in a state-of-the-art, gorgeous, climate-controlled warehouse at Skywalker Ranch in Marin County in California that rivals the warehouse, the storage facilities of any museum in Washington, I've got to tell you. And he takes very, very good care of them. The archivist is here with us. She was part of the curator team that put these sections of the exhibit together. And then what we tried to do with the University of Pennsylvania, they have a wonderful archaeology museum there and have sponsored a lot of archaeological work over their couple hundred year history. We tried to be as faithful to the movies as we could by choosing, like, there's a big section on the Nazca Lines of Peru, and that was something that was featured in the fourth film. So they had a huge collection of Nazca pots and a wonderful bit of research on the Nazca people. And we had done at National Geographic, we had done a film on Nazca civilization and uncovering some of the mysteries of these big geoglyphs that people think were made by aliens. And it was a wonderful ability to sort of tee up the science fiction part of that film, right? I don't know if you've seen the fourth film, but there's a lot of science fiction in that film. But we wouldn't have been able
to... A little more than the other three.
We wouldn't have been able to tee that up, though, if it hadn't been for these, you know, these geoglyphs, which are real. They're there in the ground, these huge, vast expanses that, honestly, people probably, you know, before we figured out, archaeologists figured out how they were made.
Right.
You know, it would be very conceivable to think they have been made by... other beings.
Something else out there.
But anyway, it's been a lot of fun, and it's a huge team effort. As I said, we worked with Lucasfilm and with our fabulous partners from Montreal X3 Productions to put this together. And it's been, I think, to six cities around the world, and we've always wanted to bring it to Washington.
So this isn't the first time it's being shot?
No. It opened in Montreal in 2011. You know, in that intervening time, I think they've announced that they're considering making a fifth Indiana Jones. So
that would be kind of fun.
Do
you know what other cities were on there? It was Montreal.
Montreal, Valencia in Spain. It's been to LA and to Fort Worth in Texas. And there might have been one other venue in there that I can't remember, but it's been on a nice adventure so far. But we hope this will be the best venue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where will you be Thursday? Will you be sitting in the theater when
these
credits come up?
I have seen that movie so many times. Absolutely. Everybody has their favorite indie movie, and it's like your favorite Beatle, right?
Of course, there's usually a good
reason for it.
Once they make the fifth one, then there's an extra Beatle analogy doesn't really work.
What do we do? Right. I know.
So what's your favorite and why?
Oh, definitely the first one. Yeah. Definitely the first one. I mean, there's just this. A movie like that had never been made.
Yeah.
The John Williams music just transports you. Every time you hear that sort of that march music, it just transports you back in time. And
something special about
very,
the first.
Very special about the first. They're all great.
Yeah.
But the first one is the best.
That's the cultural ripple that enables the other ones.
It's
so,
true. Yeah. It's true. And it launched him as a character, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even
one
though
of the greatest
Harrison,
heroes of all time.
Harrison Ford had been Han Solo, which was not an insignificant character, but the Indiana Jones character is really special.
That's his career role. Let's just say. There's nothing else.
That and Jack Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably give the edge to Indy. But yeah, Jack Ryan.
And he was really great. You know, he narrated. He did this little welcome piece in the beginning, and he was happy.
How did you bring him on board to do that?
We asked him. He's been very, very generous to National Geographic over the years. He's done a lot for us, and I think he's genuinely interested in the subject. I mean, he's got a lot of interests, and he's moved way past the movies and done a lot of other interesting projects. But
that first one's your favorite movie. What's your favorite scene in that movie?
Wow, that's a tough one.
There's the opening with the
boulder.
Well,
the opening arc, the boulder scene. I do love the scenes that they shoot in, air quotes, Egypt, right? When they're wandering around and with the monkey, you really feel like you are in, you know, Cairo, in some market in Cairo.
I love when he drops down into the well of souls and puts
There's no bad scene. It's just all good.